On today's show, I have the pleasure of talking with Warren Craighead, who has worked for the last 17 years as a designer and artist. He began building websites in 1995 and currently works as a creative director at the University of Virginia School of Law, where he is part of a small team responsible for designing and developing all print, digital, and web materials for the school. His artwork and publications have been shown internationally. He has a BFA from Virginia Commonwealth University, an MFA from the University of Texas at Austin, and has attended Skowhegan School of Painting and Sculpture. Working on retrofitting the UVA Law website to be more mobile-friendly inspired him to share some of the challenges and solutions that he found. Warren, thanks so much for joining me today.
It's great to be here, Jeff.
This is great. So, this is great. The overarching theme is mobile for dinosaurs. And before we started talking today, I had to clarify that the dinosaurs, of course, is a metaphor. So maybe you could talk to our listeners a little bit about what you mean by your experiences with the projects you're working on now, and what you mean by mobile for dinosaurs.
Well, when I say dinosaurs, I mean the big lumbering websites that are difficult to update and make ready for mobile. So, in our case, we are a really small team. There's three of us with one part-time person helping. It's a great team, but we're responsible for all kinds of things, everything from media relations to all the news writing, doing videos, and one of our biggest jobs is running the website. None of us are full-time developers. We all kind of wear a lot of hats, like any small department. And when we were faced with coming up with a mobile strategy for our giant lumbering website, we had to do a lot of tricky things, and those are the kinds of things I want to share. I think that they will be good strategies and tactics for people who have these, brontosaurus sites. I think in the description, I talk about taking your brontosaurus site and turning it into a sleek velociraptor at the end.
That's fantastic. And of course, this is issue, excuse me, is important because a lot of companies now over the last few years in particular are really trying to look towards creating that experience going from a huge website-based screen from a desktop down to something as small as an iPhone screen, and those interactions can be very difficult. So what are some of the ways that you've looked at trying to overcome some of these issues and getting to that Velociraptor website away from the sort of, I guess, the Brontosaurus website that people are interacting with on a daily basis?
Well, some of the things we did were, and I can go into a little more detail, things like mobile style sheets. We used some JavaScript to redirect some pages. We came up with a mobile framework for some pages. The first thing that I would suggest people do, and that we did kind of last, was take Flash off of your site, especially if your content is embedded in there. We were lucky that we just had sort of secondary content in there, but if it's on Flash, iOS can't see it, and so iPhones and iPads can't get to your content. And that's the most important thing. I mean, one of the things about mobile that we really are trying to embrace it is because more and more people are getting on the web only on their phones. Karen McGrane talked about this at an event I was at last summer. It was astonishing the numbers of people that are only accessing the web via their mobile. So for companies, for higher education institutions, it's becoming more and more important to reach these people. Some of the strategies that we came up with, we purged Flash off of our site. We're still working on that with some of the older video things. Some other tactics we used, we came up with a set of mobile style sheets that we attached to pages that use media queries. For those not familiar with it, basically it's in the CSS page. It says, "Hey, browser, if you're smaller than this, show the content this way. If you're bigger, show it this other way." And that makes it a lot easier for people to read the content on their phones or mobile devices.
Right, exactly. And I mean, there's a lot of things that are going on too. I mean, we're also looking at things at a global scale now too. I mean, I've done work in the Caribbean with people in Jamaica, for example, where they can get access to, that's the only thing they have is access to mobile phones. And in fact, even the user base that we draw from, in terms of the experts, really people in the Caribbean are actually have a higher potential for understanding how these things work on a daily basis because they've been interacting with them longer as well. So when you're looking at a university, you're at the University of Virginia School of Law, for example. Do universities start to look at these sort of things at a global level now, or are you starting to reach out more to understand what people are doing internationally as well as what's going on in the United States?
I think certainly they do. And I know for our school, we have a strong international program where we bring in students from around the world. So to be able to reach that person in China or in the Caribbean or in Africa, to be able to reach that person who wants to find our content, wants to apply to our programs, that's great. I think with us, we're kind of top-end law school, so and it's a graduate school as well, so our numbers aren't as high in terms of mobile as you might get for an undergraduate institution, but they're creeping up, and it's more and more important. I think certainly for a company, you want to have a global reach, but even for institutions that do higher education, being able to reach a wide range of people, even people here in your home country like the States or Canada, being able to reach people who might not have access to a desktop computer as easily as they have their phone is going to be important. If we want to, if we want to live up to our standards of diversity, of equality of access, we have to do this hard work.
Right. And being on a smaller team too. I mean, I've been part of really enterprise teams and I've been part of smaller teams. Do you find in your experience working with the smaller teams, you have a little more free flow in terms of creativity and sharing of ideas, and you almost have to be more creative because you don't have the technical resources that a lot of people in bigger companies really take for granted?
Right. I'm not able to just hand something off to somebody. It helps that my boss, Mary Wood, runs a great team. She really opens us up to a lot of creativity. We have a lot of meetings where we critique and talk about each other's work. All of us are engaged and thoughtful. Maybe we don't always have all the technical knowledge that I would love to have, but you're right. There's a creativity that comes from figuring out how to solve these problems. And that's one reason why I wanted to do this talk, because I wanted to show people who might not have all this technical knowledge and might be overwhelmed when they see some of the really beautiful work being done by the big teams or the big names when they redo a whole big site as a responsive site. It's incredible. I love it. It's beautiful. But I think it can be intimidating. I wanted to show, like, here's a dum-dum who, you know, knows HTML, knows CSS, and is interested and has a lot of other duties that are always, you know, coming up on my desk. But I can, you know, we were able to do it and you can do it too. And you owe it to your users and viewers to really try.
Yeah. Well, one of the most inspired quotes I heard over the last couple of years was from a designer by the name of Richard Seymour. And he said, you know, in the information age now, we need to move the conversation from what we could be doing to what we should be doing. Because there's really nothing we can't do. Anything we can imagine now, it's like a talk I gave at UX Camp here in Ottawa last year. You know, it's not like the Netscape days, where I think there was a lot more creativity and imagination and ideas being shared. Today, there really isn't any excuse for not being able to provide that great experience. I think it's really about slowing down and taking the time to create that interaction and those things that your users want. And I think with a smaller team, that becomes a lot more plausible because you don't have to go through several chains of command to get to what you want to do. Do you find, or do you have plans in the works to be testing the mobile sites and talking with people about what they think at the university?
Yeah, we already have done a little bit of very simple testing, nothing as complicated as probably a lot of UX people do. But we have done testing, rolled it out slowly to people, asked them how they were able to access the content, both people who are the stakeholders in terms of the administrators who have a certain view of how they want their content shown, but also students who are the end users in a way. We do a survey of admitted students who might end up not coming to our school to find out what are some ways that we can improve our communications, including the website, to better reach them with the content that they're trying to get to.
Yeah, and that's critical because, you know, a lot of this guerrilla style research where you don't need traditional marketing approaches of needing 1,000 people across a huge demographic, you know, it's really just taking it to them and taking it to the students and saying, well, what do you think? Like, this is what we're building, and maybe even getting their feedback ahead of time. And that unbiased view, I think, can really help in developing that mobile app that you can continually iterate over and over again to keep improvements on.
Yeah, and it helps us when we're, I think, dealing with people higher up the chain of command to say, hey, this is why we're doing this. This is the response we got from some of the users. And it helps all of us to understand how people on the other side of the website are using the website. I mean, you know, like you said, there's a lot of people from outside the US or a lot of younger people who are using mobile in a much different way than, say, I'm even using it now. I'm in my 40s. I'm older than them. And so I'm not going to presume that I understand how they're using it, but I can ask them and hopefully they'll tell me.
Exactly. And that communication and that dialogue is key to making changes that benefit the user. And you can balance that off, like you said, when you meet with the department heads around what are the business objectives for the university and finding out that key balance and getting that buy-in accordingly.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah. So Warren, there are a couple other technical approaches and tactics that you shared with me in the notes that you provided. Do you want to share some of those with our listeners?
Right. So in addition to purging Flash off your site, no offense, Adobe Flash was a wonderful technology at the time, but I think it's just not really great right now. And using the mobile style sheets with the media queries, we also, for some pages, there's no amount of CSS is going to help. These pages were designed years ago. There's no way to sort of move their building blocks around. What we do for that is we have a JavaScript redirect that we put on the page. It sniffs and says, hey, you're smaller, so I'm going to send you over here. And that points to our mobile app, which right now is in JQ Touch, but we're changing it to jQuery Mobile. Really simple, very easy for people to use. Every time I show people the mobile app, they're like, wow, this is incredible. I couldn't do this. And then I show them the code, and it's CSS and HTML. It's very simple. That provides navigation to the end pages that do use the mobile style sheets. So it's sort of a way of retrofitting a page that can't be retrofitted via CSS. But finally, the main thing I would want to get across in my talk, Edui, is that it's a process that one has to understand is never going to end. Like anything on the web, I guess. Everything is constantly changing, and we have to be okay with that and accept that it's going to be a process. There's always going to be another step to take, but you're never going to get to a better place without starting. And that's what I hope to do, is to encourage people, again, who are in the same boat I am, a small department, not that many resources, not that much time to work on stuff, but still you can make changes to help move things along.
Right. And that team and that process that you described, it's great that you're sharing these ideas, because from the people I've talked to and worked with the world over, your situation is not unique. It's becoming more and more part of the norm in most academic institutions as well as businesses the world over. And it has so many benefits. And if you can create that corporate culture of being comfortable with change and evolving things over time, you can, in my experience, you can involve a lot more people in the process that you described, and more and more people can see the value in their own ideas come to the fore in the things that we create.
Right. Even if you're not the person who's going to do the coding, or you're not going to specifically, you're going to sort of direct the people that are working on the website, being able to understand, hey, they're not going to wave a magic wand to make this happen, I think can be really helpful to keep everybody on the same page, to keep all of the team directed in the right way, and everyone pointed at the same goal, which really is not about whatever turf wars are going on inside your institution or whatever problems you might be having, but really about that end user. How can we get our presumably good content to that user, whether you're selling a product, whether you're trying to get them to apply to the school, whether you're trying to help them with their career services after they've graduated. They are who we're trying to help, and keeping an eye focused on that is paramount. So
couldn't have said it better myself, Warren. Thank you so much for your time today. This has been a wonderful conversation, and best of luck at the conference. And I know everyone listening to this and those that are in attendance will really enjoy your ideas and experiences that you share around mobile design.
Great. Thanks, Jeff. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Warren.